You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International. Now, Israel's envoy to visit US after NGOs labeled terrorist. We speak to Phyllis Bennis, who's a regular voice on Radio Islam, speaks to us live from the United States of America. Phyllis, good day, greetings, and welcome to the program.
Great to be with you today.
This decision by Israel to label six NGOs as terrorist groups, why did they go this route?
Well, this is a significant escalation in the ongoing efforts to undermine all versions of Palestinian resistance to apartheid, colonialism, and occupation. This identification of six really well-known, internationally known, and internationally respected organizations. Some of these organizations, Al-Haq, the oldest human rights organization in the Palestinian territories, DCI, Palestine Defense for Children International, Palestine section, that works so closely with the U.S. Congress. They deliberately chose organizations that have the most credibility because they are the best known internationally. And it's very much a test of the Biden administration and of the United Nations and of the international community to see whether this will stand or whether there will be serious pressure. So far, there have been responses from some members of Congress, quite strong. Responses from UN agencies are just coming out just an hour or so ago. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights issued a very strong statement saying that these actions that they allege were carried out by the six organizations are not acts of terrorism, that advocating for the rights of women is not terrorism, that claiming rights before a UN or other international body is not terrorism, that providing legal aid to detained Palestinians is not terrorism. All of these were the statements of Michelle Bachelet, the High Commissioner for Human Rights at the UN. 17 of the special rapporteurs and members of the other human rights teams that work on issues from the right to freedom of assembly to the right to protect human rights defenders, all of these special rapporteurs issued a joint statement yesterday, very powerful. There was a joint statement as well from key human rights organizations that operate globally, including Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, that issued a joint statement condemning this action. So this was a very deliberately provocative act that matches the Israeli actions on the ground of expanding settlements, continuing to arrest and detain Palestinians, the detention of children by military forces. All of these things continue in the context of an ongoing settler colonial context. And this latest one is essentially to send the message that the actions by human rights organizations and those who support human rights, who want to use United Nations and other international bodies to support their struggles for human rights, that they will be treated as terrorists the same way as someone who carries out some illegal military action. The punishment for organizations that are listed on this law that was passed in 2016, the law that says that any organization that the Israeli state deems to be a so-called terrorist organization or terrorist institution, the staff is subject to imprisonment for 5 to 25 years. The office can be shut down and all of their materials confiscated. It's very dire consequences for any organization facing this determination.
Yes, certainly. What has taken effect thus far? Has it already gone into effect? Have these groups had their bank accounts frozen already, and are their members getting arrested?
So far, no. As far as I know, this is just in the last few hours. We have not heard about that happening yet. But one of the most important and most damaging components here is what's known as the chilling effect. You know, whether or not the staff are arrested, the accounts are frozen, the computers are seized in the first moments after the naming of the organizations under this law, or whether they wait a few weeks or maybe wait months. In the meantime, it frightens everyone that might claim to want to go to the United Nations with complaints about the consistent violations of international law and violations of human rights that the Israeli state and Israeli settlers are carrying out on a daily basis. So in that context, the impact of the naming is a huge impact that even goes beyond these six organizations themselves to the entire civil society movement in the occupied Palestinian territories. So it's a very damaging impact even before they begin to implement the most draconian components of the legislation.
The U.S. says it was not notified in advance. Does this mean a slap on the wrist is coming Israel's way and then business as usual?
That's certainly the most likely possibility. We do know that there are members of Congress, Representative Betty McCollum, for instance, whose very important proposed resolution in the House of Representatives that calls for, it's a very mild resolution, we should be clear, it calls for imposing only what are known as end-use restrictions on the massive amount of U.S. military aid that my government provides directly to the Israeli military every year in my name with my tax dollars. $3.8 billion every year is sent directly to the Israeli military with no restrictions, no end-use requirements, as is the case with all other military aid. What it says is that the military aid must not be used for Israel's military juvenile detention process. Israel, of course, is the only country in the world that actually has a military system of juvenile detention, where children as young as 12, the UNICEF report documenting this stuff is devastating. Children as young as 12 are routinely arrested, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning, specifically because it's more frightening that way. They're taken away from their parents. They are not provided with lawyers. They are taken generally from their homes in the occupied territories into prisons inside Israel, which is itself a separate violation of international law. They are interrogated. Many of them are mistreated. Some of them have been beaten. Some have actually been tortured. Some have been made to sign confessions in Hebrew, a language that they do not speak. And the notion that this is going on as a legal matter, not as a rogue element doing something illegal, but this is written into the law. This is what the military is authorized to do. And all that Representative McCollum's bill would do is impose an end-use restriction that says that that $3.8 billion should not be used for that program. Of course, it can be used for other programs. It amounts to about 20% of the Israeli military budget. So it's a very important bill. It's a very mild bill, and we're hoping that there will be more sponsors of it. She wrote a very strong condemnation of this latest Israeli action, and I think we will be seeing more responses today and tomorrow from members of Congress.
Yes.
The UN responses are also quite strong, and I think the Biden administration will have to take that seriously.
On Sunday, Israel announced plans to advance the construction of more than 1,300 new settler homes in the West Bank. The move is the first of its kind since Biden, who has said that he will take a harder line against settlements which are illegal under international law. So can we expect this to go ahead, and what would Biden's response be?
Unfortunately, I think we are not seeing action from the Biden administration yet that would bring them into to match what their rhetoric was early on when they said they do not support the expansion of settlements, for instance. So far, while the Biden administration has made clear, and Joe Biden personally has made clear, he does not support many of the most extreme actions that the Trump administration, his predecessor, took. He has done nothing deliberately, has said he will not right now do anything to reverse those decisions, including the announcement that settlements perhaps are not illegal, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem in violation of U.N. resolutions that define it as occupied territory, recognizing the Israeli annexation of the Golan Heights as somehow acceptable, saying that the nation-state law that Israel passed in 2018 that says explicitly that the right of self-determination in Israel applies only to Jews and no one else, so that the 20% of Israeli citizens who are Palestinian are denied by law the right of self-determination in their own country, that that's okay. All of these extreme positions were taken by the Trump administration. Right now, they are the position of the Biden administration because they have made a conscious decision not to reverse them. Until they reverse those policies, they are the policies of the Biden administration, regardless of what political rhetoric is used to say, well, we don't really agree. You can agree or disagree, love it or hate it. Until you change it, it is your policy when you are the president of the United States.
Yes, certainly. That's an important point. Phyllis, thank you for chatting to us. Your time always appreciated.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, well, bye-bye.